You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in a little bit rainy Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510 WWBC, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, there we archive the shows under the on-demand button. We've been here on 1510 WWBC for, I don't know, it's been a long time.
15 wonderful years.
Well, I don't know. We haven't been on here the whole time. But nonetheless, all of the shows are booked there on Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Of course, then we share all of that, plus the pictures and the bios of all of our great guests on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com. And then also on our social media, which is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Fantastic. Labor Day weekend, by the way. And happy Labor Day to everybody who's out there celebrating, has the day off, and
that's
spending
right.
time with family.
And then I just want, on Mondays, for the folks who are just tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we sit here in this studio, which has become like an extension of our living rooms on Mondays. We actually have incorporated this 1 hour into our daily lives. Forever, I think, at this point, Ellen, really. And Allie's here. Allie Tamber is here. She's a good friend of Ellen's who joined our show when her husband passed away. He was also a guest of our show a while back. And she's kind of like our resident guest now. She just comes with Ellen every Monday.
I'm a cheerleader.
That's right. And Ellen is my co-host. She's also the person behind the scenes that makes the show happen. I could not have Viewpoint with Sita and Friends without Ellen O'Neill. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been fantastic journey together.
Wonderful friend with a capital F.
Go ABWA.
That's right. And so on Mondays, we sit here and we talk to people from all walks of life and all whatever advocacy they want to talk about. Maybe they want to talk about clean air, clean water, the environment, write a book, maybe peddle a book, maybe talk about financial literacy, mortgages, whatever people want to talk about. We give them a platform here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we keep it fair, we keep it balanced, and we know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. So that's it. That's my big spiel for today. Ellen, I just sent you the phone number to call the lady in New York.
Okay, you got it.
I try to tell our friends that our show is fun, it's unscripted, it's very educational and quite informative. And so whatever you want to talk about, you could put in the keywords on our website, and you will see lots of stuff that we've had for the last 15 years on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
And it's all there.
That's right. My good friend is here, Donna. Donna, how do you say your last name?
Paternoster.
See, you learn a lot in Viewpoints with Sita and Friends. Donna is here. Donna Paternoster is here. We've known each other for over 15 years.
Yes.
And you haven't changed. You're still beautiful
and gorgeous
as ever. And Donna is going to talk to us on the second segment about the unique dual calling that she has, whereas she will help you to find that perfect dream home and a mortgage.
True.
But you got your real estate agent, your credit score is good, you're looking at getting some generational wealth, you don't want to rent anymore, and folks, you can probably get a mortgage and pay less than what you're paying in rent. And Donna will talk to you about that later, as well as her love for Pilates, which she's doing and she looks great. So she'll pass on her secrets with us. Our first segment is with a lady that's called in before, Yvonne Sotomayor. And she sounds like the judge. We have a judge, Sotomayor. And she is a world-renowned poet. Her poetry and her videos are aired all over the world. And she is going to call in from New York City if time permits. All right. I see Ellen is giving me the go ahead, she keeps saying, talk. But anyways, so for our listeners who are tuning in, you know, sometimes we express ourselves verbally. We express ourselves through writing. We express ourselves, everybody knows, through videos and social media. You could call someone. And some people like to write books. They have articles they've written. Yvonne, she is an educator, an administrator, a producer, an artist. And she is a child of Peruvian immigrants that lives in New York City. And she has given so much back to the public school system in New York. And she's given a lot back by speaking and putting her thoughts, words, and actions into poetry. Now, while we wait for her to call in, we will keep going because we have to have a show and we're not sure what's going on with New York City is yet. Sometimes what happens is people mix up the time. When you tell them Florida time, they don't understand that we mean Eastern time.
But New York time is the same.
It's the same.
That's right. Nonetheless, I've texted her, so hopefully she'll call in.
That's right. So let's chat a little bit, Miss Ellen, about Labor Day. You and Allie's been around for a while. Let's have Allie. Allie, you know.
Not since the beginning.
I know.
Just
so we're clear about that.
A lot of people feel that like Labor Day or Memorial Day or 4th of July are days when it's a family day, rightfully so, and they can do things with their family members and people fly into town and people have hot dogs and hamburgers and they swim and whatnot. But the true meaning of Labor Day, it is a public holiday, a day of festivities to honor the working people, people like us. And I like to say all able-bodied men and women who can contribute and work and give back to the United States. And Ali, you've been around, so talk to us a little bit about your definition of Labor Day.
Exactly that. I've worked since I was old enough to work. If it was, you know, I went and got turned down because I wasn't old enough yet. But every summer between classes and in school, I waited tables. And it was a great way to earn a bunch of dollars, you know, in between the classes and stuff. But now it's more, it turned out over the course of our growing up years that it's about family and how all of us celebrating our ability to work and that we can make a house and a home together.
Well, and it was all about celebrating the factory workers and the laborers. And,
yes.
You know, now, fast forward 100 years, right, or more, everybody has like six streams of income going on. So the Labor Day part of it's like gets kind of amazing. Like, what are you taking the day off from? Which job are you taking your day off from?
Yeah.
And so many times we look at these types of holidays and we really forget to celebrate the part about giving back to our families.
Yes.
And that's what I think about Labor Day is that, you know, we spend all of this time in trade unions and figuring things out and grinding and making money and trying to support our families that you get one day a year to kind of sit back and relax and hopefully maybe let somebody cook for you like Danny, you know, that's probably a master on a grill somewhere, right?
Yeah.
To be able to sit back and enjoy our families after all of the fruits of our labor are the other 364 days a year, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a good question is who created Labor Day and why?
Well, they celebrate the first Sunday, the first Monday in September to recognize the American labor movement and the works and the contributions of laborers. So it was in late in the 19th century, you know, somewhere. Somebody decided to put it aside as a day, as a Labor Day, and to support the Central Labor Union and the Knights of Labor. So there were these unions back in the day.
But while we're waiting, I'm not sure what's happening, but I did confirm last night, so we'll figure it out. But we can keep rolling. That's why it's called a talk show.
That's right.
There you go.
So, you know, talking about labor, right?
By the way, this is one of those holidays that it's not just the United States. There's a International Labor Day, and it usually happens on this Monday. So Canada celebrates, and I believe there's like 13 or 14 other countries that celebrate. So this is good worldwide kind of chill day.
And the thing is, when you think about the word labor, right, oftentimes we'll be driving on the road and we would see people on a roof. And the way my DNA is, I immediately think, gosh, I hope those people have health insurance.
Yeah.
I hope to God they have water up there. I hope that their kids are going to a good school. My mind goes right away because this is labor intensive. They're in the heat. doing your roof, they're mowing your grass, they're painting, whatever. And then you think about the people that are able-bodied who are at home sitting in an air condition playing video games. For example,
because they have a day off.
Well, not necessarily, Allie.
Yeah, I know.
The United States, we are noticing that, and this is where I do support President Trump with this, so many people choose not to work and they are on getting assistance. That's okay. You should get assistance, but it's not meant for you to live on, right? Not, no generation to generation should be getting Section 8 and food stamps and health insurance and all that when the fellas are on the roof in the heat laying hot tiles. Now, so Ellen, you come across a lot of people, and we had the discussion a few weeks ago about young people. I guess some of you guys were saying that the young people are not working. What can we do in our country, this country that we all love and pay taxes and enjoy, our school system and our postal system and our roads and law enforcement and homeland security? We pay taxes for all of that. How can we get young people to say, I love this country enough so that I'm going to do it? Not all of them, because I know a lot of young ones that are very ambitious and working 2 and 3 jobs. Mm-hmm. But there is a few people that have no love whatsoever for the United States to give back, whether volunteering, paying taxes, whatever.
Well, I think, you know, unprecedented what happened with COVID, right? Where the, you know, we had a lot of kids that were homeschooled by people that had never homeschooled anyone before. You know, we used to say, there was a funny joke that said, you know, we'll see in a few years what it's like to see people that were homeschooled by day drinkers, right? So it was kind of a funny thing, you know, just a very funny thing. However, after that, and as people started getting back to work, there was a change in the work ethic, I think. I don't think it was a change necessarily in the motivation. I think that teenagers need extra motivation all the time. But as adults, as young adults, I think that they experienced something that we as adults did not have to experience, where we got, you know, we were able to go to prom. We were able to go to all the football games. We were able to go to all the school dances and all of the great things that went on, and they didn't. So I think there's an ethics piece that is a little different now. From a labor standpoint. But then I see the other side of it, which I mentioned earlier when I was talking about Labor Day, that most people are 6 or 7 incomes now. They have ways of getting different streams of income. So there's actually people that are out there probably overworking, and maybe even on a day like today where they would have the opportunity to spend time with their family or have the day off, they're choosing not to spend time with the family and choosing to work.
Right, right.
So there's a overabundance of workers now, and an overabundance of this chase for the dollar, if you will, to make sure that our families are taken care of and that we were able to afford houses and all of that good stuff. But then I think there's a whole other side of it that's the underachieving, you know, maybe not the same work ethic as we're used to seeing. And we see it when we go out.
Well, I think what we're looking for, and I think we should just keep going on this topic. I'm not sure what happened to Yvonne, but we'll keep talking. I think what you're saying is we have to have a healthy work-life balance.
Yes.
And I'll let Donna jump in here if she would like to. If you feel free to jump in. The thing is, what I see is I like when people work. I don't care if you work 18 hours a day, 20 hours a day. To me, if you enjoy what you're doing, it's not work. And if you could still fit in that time on the kitchen table for your friends and family, do it. It's called time management, right? But we do know that here it is very difficult when you give somebody something for free to take it back from them. And I had a lady complaining to me a couple days ago that they cut her benefits for foods, for, you know, the foods, I don't know what you call it now, EBT card.
Yeah,
she was getting... Stamps. Yeah, she was. Well, I don't think you call it food stamps anymore.
Because they give you a card.
It's food assistance.
Food assistance. Which they should. But during COVID, she was getting $300 a month. But she's working full time and her husband is working full time. And they cut it back. They finally caught up with them and they put it like to $61. So I said, that's $61 you didn't have before. Yeah. They took a look at what you earn and they've decided that there's other people who are less fortunate that could use that $300 a month. So I think we have to be very careful. Like, while we want people to have Medicaid and, you know, the ACA and good health insurance, and we want them to eat, so we have to take a look at who's receiving it as well. I am not against people getting it at all. If you're working poor and you know, you pay your car insurance and your phone bill and light bill and rent, and you, that $60 a month is going to help you. By all means, we don't want your kids to go hungry. But the other side of that is some folks get very accustomed to not having to pay a rent because it's, they're getting a Section 8 house and they have a gentleman in their life who's bringing money in on the sly, you know. And I think that is, that hurts the American worker.
True. But, and one other comment though too is, we, as you know, the age that we're in, not saying anything, but the newest job, like what do you want to be when you grow up, is an influencer. So that's a lot of screen time. That's a lot of on your phone, which, again, construed by us, like when we're looking at it, we're like, oh, you're being lazy. You're just hanging out on the computer on your phone all the time. But honestly, these young adults are making really good money. I personally am making $200 or $300 a month on Facebook just by posting and doing all of these things. So there is a money market out there. There is money to be made in that. I don't know if the mortgage industry is looking at this as a job yet. As something that's steady income, but it's certainly something to understand that even the look of what labor is, right, and what people are able to do right now, we always see it in customer service. Like, there's no customer service. There's nobody that wants to serve tables. There's nobody that wants to work behind the counter. There's nobody wants to clean bedpans or make sheets, you know, fix or those types of things. But on the other side of it, there's a whole lot of young people that are making really good money being an influencer, being behind their phone, being behind the computer all the time.
Well, I'm not sure there's a lot of that, right? I mean, you can make money being an influencer, but at the same time, here in the U.S., if you love your country, I mean, you say the Pledge of Allegiance and you say, I love this land and I want to give back, then we have to look at ways to incentivize people to work, pay a decent wage, a job with good benefits. People shouldn't have to go to work and still worry about paying their rent and car payment and insurance. But at the same time, we do have a lot of businesses that would take in people to be trainees and have interns, plumbing, electrical work, painting, the roofers. There is such a shortage right now in the United States. And with so many people having immigration issues, I think it behooves all of us to continue, especially today on Labor Day. Don't just say that we have too many people on welfare, but find things to incentivize them. Sit down with your children at home and figure out, do you have a grandson or a granddaughter or a child or a neighbor or an aunt, cousin, whoever in your immediate family that could benefit from listening to someone older who has a business and is willing to train you? Because the only way to give back, you know, you have an academic education, you go to college, or you open a business, or you marry somebody rich, right? Or you open your own business for trade. And I think there's a lot of young people, if they have the right people in their lives and the right people to guide them, they will open that business. They will seek, you know, their own jobs. But we don't have enough people who are taking an interest in the young people. Because you go to the Chamber of Commerce and it's the same people all the time, right? You don't see the young ones. You see, yeah, they're trying to make a little living online. But I know, like with the Boys and Girls Club, for example, when they came on our show, look how many mentors, look how many people are teaching them. Mm-hmm. So I think not just the United States, but all countries, all of us, the people who are older and bolder and wiser and have been there, it's our turn to give back. And by giving back, I mean, hold a young person by the hand and say, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what purpose do you have in life? And I'll let Allie jump in there because you've been around longer than all of us.
Yeah, love you too.
Rubbing that in.
Yeah. But it's good though. Yeah. But look at the bright side. At least she woke up.
Yeah, amen. We all did.
Yeah. It's I was brought up to figure it out. Find your own way. Find something you like to do. It's summertime. You don't get to sit your butt home. Go get a job. And if you're only going to have a job for 3 months during the summer and you got back to school, it had to be something where I could earn cash right away. It wasn't like I'm going to take an apprenticeship of some sort. But it worked its way out. Like I said, I waited tables every summer for 5 or 6 years from school. and then those dollars get tucked away. But there's, you have to coach your kids, and as parents, work with them on what they like to do, and this is a plan, and here's how we can move forward, and look, and then examples of what it's going to look like if they do something
and,
in a certain order.
And you live by example, right?
Right.
If you are not ambitious at home, and let's say you have a home and the grass is overgrown,
yeah,
and you're waiting on a department of something to come by and cut that grass for you, your kid is going to do the same thing.
Right.
But if you get up and you say, I'm going to go find me something, I'm going to weed, I'm going to cut, I'm going to mow, I'm going to plant, then you set an example for your kids. But if you have a sidewalk in front of your home and it's cracked, the cement is falling apart, and you don't call the proper person, the city council, no one's going to do it.
Right.
So you have to take, so I think labor, we feel like Labor Day is just for working and making, you know, your paycheck. But Labor Day, when you think about it, it's also your home. Because when you take care of your home, you go to Home Depot, you watch a little video, you learn how to paint, you learn how to fix something, you're also teaching your kids about labor.
Yes, they need to be involved in all of that.
We've all seen Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
We watched that, right, growing
yes.
up. And we loved
Good night,
it.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like you mentioned, if you have to mow the grass, you mow the grass, but your children are out there with you, helping you.
Exactly.
They're weeding. They're not inside playing video games. And I think that's a lot of the issue, too, is that, you know, growing up, same thing. I was 13 babysitting. You know, I was always doing something because I had to. Because that's how I had to pay if I wanted a pair, back then, Jordache jeans. I paid for it. It wasn't
God, you
going
just
to my,
gave away your name.
I know.
Yeah, your age.
Yeah, I know. But my mom and dad were like, hey, you want that? You want guest jeans? You pay for it. We're not buying it for you.
Yeah.
So now it's like, kids, I feel like sometimes, you know,
we give
after
them too
college,
much. They're getting
well,
too
yes,
much.
Your parents are enabling them. So wouldn't you rather stay home if you don't have to pay rent? Are you going to get a job? What's going to push you out of the house to get a job if you don't have to?
Right.
Nothing.
And I think, you know, we are in a generation where we didn't have a lot. So some of us give our kids a lot. Because we're like, well, I didn't have this, so I want to give them
yes,
that. But you're really drowning them.
Yes.
You know, you're not really helping them when you give them. And I'm learning that myself,
mm-hmm,
you know.
I know, I'm
so,
guilty of that, too.
So, but you know, I think what's the best advice? We'll do like a little round table we ever got. And my best advice I got was from my dad. You know, he believed that every day you wake up is a good day. And every person should find their purpose in life. And it didn't matter if he had a little shop. And he would come home with all the groceries. And I tell you, he had an Austin Cambridge. And that little car was loaded with rice and flour and sugar and corn and hair products and whatever he could squeeze in. And he would bring that car up to the garage door. And we had a shop. And all of us would be inside. Nobody wants to come out in the heat and unload the car. And then he would say, this is how I raise you people. The profit is in this stuff. So, you know, we had to get up and go help him to pack the things away. And he started that, I think, our brothers and sisters were 6 and 7 years old. And everybody had to grab a box, whether it was Eveready batteries. And I always went for the easy, light things like hair shampoo, you know. But everyone had a job to pack things away. And little did I know that he was teaching me and preparing me for life. How to be organized and how to help. And at the end, the car was unloaded and the rice was in its place and the flour and everything. And we would survey our job and we felt good about ourselves. We felt like the hard work and the sacrifice and that exercise of helping in our shop, I think it prepared all of us for business, for anything. Now, what did you have any nice memories from your parents?
It was always, you know, if you want something, you do it. Go get it. Don't depend on anybody else for what you want. So I've always instilled that. And I even today, you know, I don't want to depend on somebody else for what I want or have to pay somebody back. Or, you know, I don't want to do that. If I want something, I'm going to work for it and I'm going to get it. So that's how I've always been. And that's what I try to teach my children, grandkids that, you know, if you want it, go get it. Don't rely on somebody else for that.
And Allie, I'll give you 30 seconds there because Danny's going to give us a cutoff soon.
Well, I was lectured isn't the right word, but it was profounded to me over the course of growing up that, listen, you need to be socking some dollars away for college. It's not all on us to put you through college. So start earning your dollars now. And then you had the opportunity to see what happens when you put money in the bank and what happens when you can move it over here. Will it earn more dollars? So it was an education as much as it was learning how to make some dollars with it. So
that's a good thing for Labor Day.
Yes.
Everybody needs to learn that. And L, you, and then you close up this segment.
My parents grew up in the Great Depression, so they everything was frugal. And I remember my first, you know, my first lesson in entrepreneurship was my lemonade stand and selling Girl Scout cookies and dealing with customer service where you ordered the wrong style cookies and you had to, like, make it right and all of those things. So I remember from an early age of my parents being able to exemplify as well as teach me that when you make a paycheck, so even at the lemonade stand, I took the lemonade stand and 10% of what I made, I put in a savings account.
Let's put it this way.
For the rest of my
life. Don't kill anybody.
That's right. No.
I've yet, my father used to say, I've yet to see a man, of course we say to get a heart attack,
right.
but he, you know, he had this thing about it. My dad was something else. He really was a good example. He would say, oh, I just drove up the road in the village and I saw all these people in hammocks and the hammocks has the contour of the person. And he said, if I see any of my children in a hammock with their body shaped on the hammock, it means they're lazy. Mm. He would say that to us. And he would, so they wouldn't give us a hammock because he thinks people get too comfy in a hammock and they lay down all day in it.
So what do you have now at your house?
I have a hammock,
okay.
but I don't lay in it.
Sure. But she earned it.
Yeah, she earned that. But his point was that too many people were getting too comfy in these hammocks, on the, you know, and they were not out working. And his thing was, you have got to work. It didn't matter what you did, as long as you made a good living, you go out there and you give it your best. And I think all his children. I don't have any sisters, brothers, anybody in our family that is not actively working. They may not make the same amount of money, but they give back.
It doesn't matter.
You know, so I think on this Labor Day, we should remember my dad. If you have a hammock, maximum 10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So
right from Nanny Raj the days. We're going to take a quick break, yes, and listen to our sponsors. And we'll be right back with Donna Paternoster right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified...
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What a great segment we had. We're not sure, for listeners who are tuning in, what happened to our guests from New York, but we killed it. Well, you know what I mean.
not
hurt anybody, but we followed through with our show, and we talked about Labor Day and why people should give back to this great nation. So my name is Sita Biggie. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we archive the shows as well. Under the on-demand button, you can pick by any Monday date and get our download there as well. We put it on our website, cetamediainc.com, and then all of our social media, which is under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Right, and we're going to go to our second segment with our guest, Donna.
Hey.
Busting out.
Right? Paternoster.
Paternoster.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the dictionary, but whatever.
Yeah. But, you know, before we do that, I just wanted, you know, that segment we just had, we were talking about how we grew up with our parents and everything, and boy, do we miss those years. I know. We wanted to grow up so fast. 1985, we wanted 2000 to come, right? And I saw something this morning on Facebook, and I thought it was so real. It's, the quote was, I grew up thinking our parents were so strict, but seeing some of the kids today, I think our parents saved our lives. And that is so true, isn't it?
It's very true.
I mean, when we look at how many of them don't even know how to write a check, can't write cursive, can't have a conversation with someone, you wonder what happened, right? You remember the days when your parents would walk in and you stood up, or your teacher would come into class and you stood up? Respect, right? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Donna, take it away, girl. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing Pilates, mortgages. We're going to get with the first segment. I think you should talk about mortgages and
help. Let's talk about the money.
Yeah, the money, because we want to help kids and people.
Exactly.
So go for it.
And you can do it from home. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you can.
So, Donna Paternoster.
That's it. Ameribest Mortgage. I am a small business here in Brevard County. And I'm actually a mortgage broker. And I get that a lot. I'll get people that say, well, what's a mortgage broker? Are you a lender? Are you a bank? I am not. I am neither. I'm not a lender and I'm not a bank. Mortgage broker actually works with the whole side of banking, which basically, in a nutshell, to compare, is you have Walmart. Everybody loves Walmart. That's retail. And then you have Sam's. Sam's wholesale. I'm Sam's. I'm wholesale. So I work with banks that are wholesale. And my job is to find the best rate, best program for my clients, because I don't have one box, right? I don't have just, hey, I can only do this program. I have many programs, many boxes, different rates. So that's why it's great, because I'm very versatile and I can help many, many people, first-time home buyers. I have the program that everybody's been talking about right now, the Hometown Heroes. So I just have many options to provide to my clients. So that's the difference between a broker, bank, lender.
Right.
So I'm actually a mortgage broker.
Right. And you've got quite a reputation in here in Brevard, where people trust you. And you have a passion. When you talk about mortgages, you light up, because you know what's coming next is, I'm going to help somebody to own a home.
Exactly. And it's such a great feeling. I mean, even though the process can be very overwhelming and cumbersome, and for me, I'm big on education. I love to talk to you about the reasons why. Why do we want to do this? Why do we not want to do this? How can we improve your credit? Maybe get you something better. I'm not just, oh, hey, your rate is this and that's all you get. No, I look at it like we're stuck together for life.
Like family.
Exactly.
So here's a good time to give a plug for Ameribest Mortgage and give us your website. So while we're talking, somebody could go on air,
yes,
go on the website and look it up.
So the best actually place to go look, and you'll actually see videos, because I, again, educational, is going to be my Facebook page, Ameribest Mortgage. You'll see my nice little face on there, Donna Paternoster, Ameribest Mortgage on Facebook. And go through, I have videos on there that are a minute or less, so that way you'll actually enjoy listening to them and watching. It won't bore you. And you're going to learn a lot about just basic things of do's and don'ts. Credit. Why should I not buy a car before I buy a house? Ding, ding, ding. So different, even with military. I love helping our military, as I come from a military family. So military is one of the biggest things that I can tell you that I advocate, and make sure that they're not paying anything that they should not be paying, which is zero. You should not be paying anything. So those are the things that I do also make sure that our military are taking
care of. You educate as you go along.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, how long has Ameribest Mortgage been around? When did you open?
So actually, my mortgage broker, Scott Bray, he's our mortgage broker. He opened back in about 18, 20 years that he's been open. I've been with him for a little over 10 years, but I've been in the industry for 25 years. See, now you're telling me you're making my age.
Like, yeah, but
I started when I was 10.
Because I remember when you were doing the pharmaceutical sales.
I did pharmaceutical.
No, you weren't doing mortgage broking then.
No, because that's when the mortgage industry crashed. I went back to school, got my master's degree in business, and then I actually ran into somebody at the time that was working in pharmaceutical, and I was like, hey, you guys hiring? And he's like, we actually are in Brevard. I said,
and you know, back then, I have to say this, you know, I remember, like, back then, all the girls that came into Ahmed's practice were all blondes, mm-hmm. right? And you fit that mold back then, didn't
Blonde.
You? And cute. I remember when I met him, she's so adorable. Aww. And beautiful. Oh, my God. And look at me in scrubs and my ugly sneakers. And I'm like, who are you? I'm his wife. I'm thinking, gee, I should put some lipstick on or something.
And you know, I was known for my great shoes at the time. I always had great shoes on.
You did.
The heels?
The heel. But yes. You carried off well.
Thank you.
And you still do. And why shouldn't you? You feel good about it?
That's right.
Do it.
That's right.
So getting back to mortgages, we have a lot of people, like Ellen was saying, like the people who work, right? And those people, and I was saying that the healthy balance and stuff. There's a lot of people that don't have anyone to guide them. How to get a mortgage, what's the next step? I've been renting forever. I'm giving somebody else my money and I'm making somebody else rich.
Right.
How do you get started? Like say a young person comes to you, what would you tell them, Don?
So here's the thing, right? Fear. That is the biggest obstacle is fear. And you fear the unknown. You fear that, hey, I can't be a homeowner. So my biggest thing is we work through the fear first. What's your fear? What is stopping you from becoming a homeowner? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Well, what if? So worst case, you sell the house. So you're in it a couple years.
That's such a brave and a courageous thing to see because that's what keeps everybody back.
Right. They're like,
what am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, things happen for a reason and do it. What do you have to lose? Check out your options. Why not? You know, let's just talk through it. Because again, I'm not going to candy coat. I'll tell them and we'll talk through the fear. And once they work through that fear, they do it and they love it. And I've had, because I've been doing this such a long time, I have so many clients that return to me, their families, their kids. They just know that I'm going to talk through the whole process with them and explain, hey, this is what worst case, best case, your expectations. But really, it's just getting over the fear.
Yeah.
And there's so many self-employed people now. I just wanted to throw this in.
Yes.
True.
And self-employed people have a tough time sometimes with filing taxes and doing some of
borrowing money because they got to show
their debt ratio is a little high because they usually invest most of the money back in the business.
We have
a
friend who's
been doing,
people,
so on taxes, you show that you're making this amount of money so that you're not paying it. But you're actually making this amount of money in your business. So those are challenges too, right?
Yeah,
and right
is.
Now with the internet, again, we were talking about the online businesses and so forth. Now it's so vague. So as a mortgage broker to try and get that, right?
The hard part is really, and this is what if you call me, I mean, that is the biggest thing is I will walk you through everything. But self-employed, the biggest thing I tell my self-employed borrowers is if you're thinking of buying a house, you need to make sure your taxes show that. Talk to your accountant and say, hey, I'm going to buy a house because the federal government isn't going to let you have it both ways. They're not going to let you make money on your taxes and also make money so you can buy a house. So you have to pick and choose. So you're either going to have to show a loss so you can buy a house or not write off everything. So you're going to have to decide, do I want a house this year or do I want to do my taxes to where, quote unquote, I can not show off the write-offs. So the biggest thing is, as self-employed, I do need 2 years full tax returns, number one. If you've been in business for over 5 years and you can show, hey, I've been self-employed 5 years plus, we may only have to get away with just using your most recent tax return. So I wouldn't necessarily need 2 years tax returns, but you do have to show that you've been in business for 5 years self-employed in the same business or more. So there's some things that we can do that will help, but the biggest thing is you have to show income on your tax returns if you want to buy a house.
Right. And I know this brings us to a good one, good question. The five C's of mortgage lending. I know there's a five C's, right?
Oh, there is?
I'll tell you what it is because that's something someone told me about. It's character.
Ooh.
Condition.
Okay.
Capital.
Okay.
Capacity and collateral.
Mm.
And that's exactly what you just told us all, right? Yeah. They say it like this. Mm. So, you know, there are some families where it's like a cultural thing where a husband and wife would want to buy a home, but they're depending on the income of a child and a person in that home as well, an adult child, to help pay that mortgage. How does that work? Because you can't have three people's name on a mortgage.
Oh, you can.
Oh, you can.
You can.
Oh.
But usually what I do.
What you learn on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Mm. But usually what I do is sometimes there might be, say, hey, the wife may not necessarily need to be on it, right? Because maybe she's not making as much money or maybe she's not making any money. So we would just put the husband on and maybe the child, or it could be vice versa. Maybe the wife is the one making the money and the husband maybe is just getting Social Security and we don't really need that to qualify. So there's just so many things, and that's why you need to make sure, and I'm not trying to plug for me, but I am, you want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody that's knowledgeable, that knows that what you need to do a mortgage, things that you don't need, because less is more sometimes. You don't have to put everything out there. I may not need all of that. So what do I need and what do I not need?
And dirt is the biggest investment. And I know Sita has rental property.
That is so true.
But and a lot of people now are getting into the VRBOs and the flipping, yes, and all of those things. So from a rental market, is that something that you can do as well? So people that were looking at purchasing possibly second homes or VRBO investment properties.
So actually investment properties, there's a program right now that it's called a D, Donna, S, Sam, C, Cat, R, Romeo. It's a DSCR loan, and we don't have to use income to qualify you. I know, I'm going to say that one more time. We don't need income.
Say loudly.
For the people in
loudly,
the back.
Let me slow.
You do not need, we don't use income. So what they use is actually the appraised value and what the rental would be on that home that you're buying, and of course, investment. And of course, 25% down is going to get you the best. You can do 20%, but 25% will get you the best.
Any ambitious investors out there, listen up.
Do it now, because right now it is a buyer's market. I'm saying this across the board to anybody that's listening. Right now. Do not wait. Rates are great. Yes, you think, hey, rates are going to drop 9 months to 12 months, and they probably will. But listen. When they drop, guess what's going to happen? It's going to turn to a seller's market.
So it's not a seller's market right now.
No, it's a
buyer's
market.
So the best thing to do is, if you have a home on the market and it's not selling, let's say 2 years, put it back up for rent.
Yeah. I mean, right now,
hold on to it.
You just do not wait, because I have a lot of people that I've talked to just in this last 10 days, 12 days. I'm going to wait till the rates. Okay, great. Wait for the rates to drop, but then you're going to have three or four other people competing for that house, and you're not going to win.
What
I was
happened?
Just going to say that. Everybody's waiting for the rates to drop. Just refinance.
We were doing so
Just refinance when you get to that part.
But we were doing so well. I mean, I remember houses in the Sherwood Park area were selling for $400,000 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Donna, you are in the business. What happened?
It's a 7-year cycle.
Yeah, it's almost like it's pendulum, right? Up, down. Like, and that's even what's happening with the rates right now, too, is the rates, they're great. The rates are very, very good, and they're good right now. But what's going to happen is, I can't remember the day, September 18, September 19, most likely 99%, they're going to drop prime by a quarter, right? Okay, everyone's like, oh, the rates are going to go down. Not necessarily, because they are not directly linked. They are indirectly linked. Mortgage rates are not tied to prime rate. They do not go together. Prime rate is your credit cards, et cetera. Your mortgage rates do not go with prime rate. I need to say that again. So don't wait on that either. Rates right now are good, but what typically happens, knock on wood, but what typically happens is when prime drops, guess what happens to the mortgage rates? Say it with me. They go up. So
and new houses are more... New houses are selling cheaper,
yes,
than existing homes as well.
Correct. And I mean, it is a buyer's market. So right now, If you are on the fence, do it. Call me. We'll talk about it. We'll run numbers. I'll show you, because math doesn't lie.
Right. And before we close off this segment and go to Pilates.
Yes.
There are 5 steps to a mortgage, right? And the first one is getting pre-qualified.
Well, we actually want you pre-approved.
Okay.
Yes, there's
and
a big difference.
And then the second one, to submit your loan application.
Yes.
Which, and all this you can do online.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
The third one is to lock in the interest rate, which we just talked about. We're not sure what it is
yet. You can't lock in your rate until you have an executed contract. But we can at least go over where the rates are right now to give you an idea what your mortgage payment would be.
And then you get the loan approved. But first, you got to find your house.
You got to find a house.
Yeah, you can't
But
do
the first thing you want to do is you want to get pre-approved. You want to do the application. You want to call me. Let's go over numbers. Because you're not going to go to the mall shopping if you don't know how much is on your credit card.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
You certainly don't want to go look at $400,000 houses and then find out you can only afford $200,000.
So
they
you
never
all, yeah.
look the same.
Yeah, let's get pre-approved.
Yeah.
Let's work on the numbers. Let's work on the math. And then I can get you hooked up with a great realtor, and we can get you in the area that you want to buy and get you ready to go.
And you can't get the house if you're not in good physical shape. And that's where you come in with bed, with
yes.
part two. Oh, you have the house, but you can't, but you're not healthy emotionally, physically,
yep.
financially. Something is wrong and you're feeling it. And then you happen to say to the mortgage broker, I just don't feel good. And you take a look at the person and you say, I know just what I should do.
Yeah. Like, I got you. I know here on Labor Day, not only one job, but hey, I got a couple of them.
Yeah.
So,
but you're happy.
I'm very happy. I'm very passionate. I love helping people across the board, whatever it may be. You know, being in the mortgage realm and then pushing over to, I was introduced to Pilates actually 1.5 years ago, 2 years, give or take, because I lost my daughter, and she's my only daughter, and unfortunately, it was to suicide, so mental health, and it's even hard just even talking about it, but I was brought into a Pilates class, and I didn't even want to do Pilates, but I was forced, but I'm glad. I'm glad I was forced, because ever since that day, it totally changed my perspective on Pilates, how hard it is. It's not easy.
Well, you needed something to distract you,
too. I did, yeah. And the whole mental health aspect of it is something I'm very passionate about, obviously, because it has affected myself and my family. And what has transpired for me physically and mentally, I feel that I need to bring that to everybody, as many people that I can.
And I think in a way you're honoring your daughters.
I am honoring my daughter 100%.
Yeah.
And it's the Pilates studio that I'm going to be opening, hopefully here in the next couple weeks, and I will be back on the show.
The name is
so
pretty.
Okay, so the name is actually, I took it from Pilates, and then fly, like I want you to fly, be the best version of yourself. It's Pillafly Pilates Studio, and I'm hoping that you'll love the logo when you see it, because it's based on my daughter, Nicole, and everything about her and the strength, and that if I can give any ounce of that to any of my men, women, everybody, we all have mental health, then I'll be doing my job for her to represent
her.
Yeah,
and you want the people to fly.
I do.
It's like mindfulness soar. And
yes.
soar like an eagle. And
yes.
And did Nicole like butterflies?
She did, but not, it's the interesting thing is, and where my theme is butterfly is because, one, I see them everywhere now. Two is because it's butterfly symbolizes what you're in a cocoon and what happens. Right? You
yeah.
grow out and you
Reborn.
Become this beautiful butterfly. But I actually, when I had her cremated, and she's actually buried with my dad, I had her cremated. I put her in a butterfly urn.
Uh-huh.
And the urn has the pastels, the purples, the blues. And
I'm so sorry.
So, yeah.
She's a beautiful child.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yes. And
God.
So that's my.
She's everybody's child. She's my
yes.
child, too.
She is.
I
yeah.
grew up with this child.
Yeah, you did.
So let's talk about Pilates. I always hear about people doing Pilates, but then you find out the origins of Pilates, and it's
yes.
fascinating. So for guests who are tuning in, this is our friend Nicole. Nicole.
Yeah. Oh,
she's
here.
She's here.
She's
here.
Yeah,
she's with us.
She's here.
I know. She is here.
This is Donna
Paternoster. Yep.
Paternoster. Donna is here. She's talking about fitness and finance, and we're talking about her soon-to-be-released
Yep, soon to come. Yep.
Soon to come studio. And tell us about the origins of Pilates.
So this is what the funny, not haha, but just funny, interesting, is, you know, I talk to everybody because I'm very passionate about it. And there'll be guys that I've talked to and they're like, oh, I'm not doing Pilates. You know, that's, you know, I'm going in the gym and I'm doing legs and weight. And I'm like, really? I said, because funny is a man, Joseph Pilates, is the one who created it. So what do you think about that? And they're like, but the interesting thing, there's a lot about Joseph Pilates and people love him or people hate him because of the way that he taught Pilates. But he does the classical, you'll hear a lot of classical Pilates. And with that being said, it was actually created based off of hospital beds. He had patients that were in hospital beds that they weren't moving. They're not getting up and down out of hospital beds. They are bedridden. And he knew that our bodies need to move. Our full body needs to move in conjunction. It's not just, hey, let's do legs today. Let's do arms tomorrow. He believed that your body needs to be moving all in conjunction, every part of your body from your neck all the way to your toes, all together in one movement. So what he created was the reformer, quote unquote. You don't see me doing air quotes, but the reformer is very similar to the hospital bed. And then he had straps to the front, and that's their, quote, hand and straps. And then he did straps at the bottom for legs and straps because he wanted arms and legs, your whole body moving in one motion.
So he believed that you would heal through motion.
And movement. It worked. Yes.
And it worked.
Yes.
Well, isn't that what we tell our patients to?
Yes.
Turn and reposition every 2 hours, lift your legs.
Moving.
Your heels, you know, shift your bottom a little bit, shift your weight.
Yes.
It's movement. It's all movement.
And that's the biggest thing one of the things, if I could say anything, is with Pilates, even in classes that I've gone to or I've taught, it's, I just want you to move. Just don't stop moving. Even if there's something that I feel like, hey, you know, maybe are like, that's painful. Okay, well, let's do something else. I still want you moving. I don't want you sitting there waiting for me to go, okay, what's next? Move something. Let's shift. Let's put you in a different direction. But you have to continually be moving.
Yeah. And Pilates also teaches you how to breathe.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, we take it for granted, breathing, right? And it's such a beautiful thing.
It's the most holistic thing that you can do for yourself. It's amazing how you can get through emotions. You can get through physical stuff just by breathing.
Well, and you know, the thing is with Pilates, what I've learned is that as I've been taking Pilates and teaching it as well, is it's not just, hey, I do Pilates in class. It's Pilates is your lifestyle. You know, that as you're doing Pilates, you should be walking differently. Your posture, just the way that you're just moving through life in general, like your whole body, your whole mental capacity, that's what Pilates does for you as a lifestyle. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go to class for 45, 50 minutes, and then I'm done.
It's become like a social thing.
Yes.
You know, people, oh, I do Pilates. And you're like, you're so great you do Pilates, right? But can everybody do Pilates?
Everybody can do it. Everybody can do Pilates.
There's no age limit.
No. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. And is there like an intake form when you come in? Like, because if you have severe limitations of something, is that going to bother you?
Well, there's just going to be different movements that we would do. But what happens is I have intro classes that I'll sit with you for 30 minutes. We'll go over different things that are affecting you. If there's any issues with shoulders, back, knees, we're going to do different movement. We're going to do different things. But I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I can't do that. You know what? Let's find out, right? Fear. Here's that topic again, fear. Don't let fear control you feeling better.
Yeah, So tell our audiences some of the benefits of Pilates, because I know you start at the head and then you work your way down. It helps your shoulders. Look at me sitting up straight in the studio. It helps your back. It helps your hips.
It helps
and
everything.
Legs and joints.
I don't know if we have enough time to talk about the benefits.
Yeah.
But we will, because I'm going to be back once we open.
Good.
Which hopefully is going to be within the month. So you'll have me back on once I have my studio open and we can go over a lot of things and getting you in the doors.
Yeah.
But with that being said, for me personally, of course, it's a mental. We've talked about that. Mentally, it's just helped me just get through my day, get out of bed, because I look forward to it, because getting out of bed is very hard every day for me. So it just makes me look forward to, number one, doing that. And then you make friendships, right? So you're almost accountable, you know, because you want to go and you want
to
see people.
Yeah, because you have to show up.
Yes,
you have to show up. And then if you own it,
yes,
that's your baby.
Right. Right.
It cannot be a replacement for Nicole.
No.
But what you're doing there, she would approve of.
Exactly.
Her spirit is in you. It's there.
Correct. Yes.
When you're happy, she's happy.
Correct. And when I'm happy, you're going to be happy and you're going to love it. But it's just, even for me, my posture, because I do have scoliosis and I tend to like hunch over, or, you know, tend to go one way or the other. And I found that as I've continued to do it, I can't really slump over much anymore. It's like, you try and you're like, I can't. It just has helped me just stand better. And yeah. I just feel better in my posture and just even my hips, my movement. I'm walking better. I don't feel stiff as much. So stretching, all of it, stability, everything.
Would you say then that you found your purpose in life with this particular venture?
Yes.
Pilates.
Yes, I definitely have found my purpose.
Yeah, you look happy. And so what does one wear to a Pilates class?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
What's one? Okay, that is a great question. You're going to wear clothes that I have? No, I'm just kidding. I will have clothes with logos.
I was just going to say, absolutely. The end of the
hair. Yeah. 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 I was thinking I could just show up in his bathing trunks.
But really, no. You just want to wear comfortable.
Paternoster pieces.
Yeah, Paternoster pieces. You want to wear comfortable clothing.
I like how
clothing.
You said that, Paternoster. Next thing you know, she'll have a clothing line.
You never know.
She's going to have it.
And she's going to have to maybe sound it out. Sort of Paternoster.
One T. Just one T.
Yeah.
So you just want something comfortable that you're able to move in. You know, the good thing is, and I know a lot of people are going to love this. Guess what? You don't need shoes. You're not wearing shoes.
Yay.
Yay. So there are special grip socks that you do wear. And then there's sometimes if we just do a mat class, there might be, hey, I'm just going to do the mat today. You could necessarily just not even wear any shoes or socks. So you could be barefoot if you want. So you just want to have comfortable clothing on, things that you're going to be moving, because there are some things that you will be doing that you might go, I don't know if I want to wear a skirt, like a little tennis skirt, right? So I just usually wear just, you know, leggings, tank top. And
just be comfortable.
Just be comfortable. Yeah.
So from what I understand, while preparing for the show, I read where Pilates helped you to prepare both for mental and physical health. And there were some key principles involved with Pilates: concentration, control, centering, precision, flow, and breath.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what all the things you just told us.
It is.
Yeah. So let's expand a little bit. We have a couple of minutes left on what you think is the core values of Pilates.
Wow. Really what I found and what I've seen with people that I've worked out with, and also the girls that were in class, actually even some of the guys, is the core is just really what you said. It is core.
Yeah.
It is your full core. It is your they call powerhouse. Your powerhouse is your center. The body is your center. Your core muscles, your strength, and your abs, which actually reflect with what? Your legs, your mind, everything. The powerhouse of your full body, stability, balance, everything that we have to do. Because when you walk, what do you need? Balance. You need strength. That's everything that it does. It helps with all of that. And just that mental clarity. I mean, it's just the full package.
If makes you, want you a good appreciate workout, your body more.
100%.
And you know what? I didn't know either that there was different styles of Pilates. There was the mat Pilates, reformer, contemporary, and classical. And which one would you be focusing on?
So I love the reformer. I love the mat, but I also have a chair. We do chair Pilates, and I also have a springboard. So there's all these different movements that we can do, and there will be also some thrown in classical as well.
So when we see you walk so upright and we see, you know, the way your body's, it's all Pilates.
It's all Pilates.
It's teaching you how to appreciate this human frame that we've got.
Yeah. Only got one.
We only got one. Oh, my goodness. And then you feel like you have increased energy as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just even mental clarity. I mean, I'm telling you, when I tell you full from head to toe.
And would you say it also enhances your muscle tone and flexibility?
Oh, everything.
So when you bend down to pick up a remote control, you don't have to hold your hip and say, ay, 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 where's the pillow for my
knees?
When
you bend down to pick up a remote control, you can do it with one leg.
There you go. So, this was one of those times that if you're looking to change your life, right? You're looking to get a mortgage. It doesn't happen overnight. If you're looking to change your body, it doesn't happen overnight. So you start slow. You start from the beginning. You call Donna Paternoster. Where can they call you?
They can call me 321-698-4000. 5238.
And we will make sure we get all of your information out there. Thanks again, Sita, for another
Fitness and finance.
That's right.
And fun.
Exactly.
That's the t-shirt right there.
That's right.
Fitness
right.
and fun.
Thanks for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, folks. We'll see you next week here at 1 p.m. 1510 WWBC.